what I'd like to do after we hear the models that are going to be presented this evening is to get our models synthesized, perhaps described in concise language, summary language, maybe boil it down to two or three with some options in various areas, and put those up on our web page, which Gary is doing such a great job. Maybe we can put them, yes, thank you. Maybe we can put them up high near the top with summary models from Berkeley. Hi, Willie. Spend a week or two doing that. Just maybe a couple people could volunteer and we could simmer it down into written summaries. In the meanwhile, I'll be monitoring what's going on in the other station areas. I'm actually wondering if there's anyone, I'm even thinking that it might be nice to tour if we could get myself and one person to go tour and maybe get somebody from each of the other stations to tour with us maybe in about two or three weeks, if there's anyone who would be interested in doing that with me and I could find some budget for it. Yeah. Actually, I was thinking of teleportation.
Touring where though? The other stations?
But I want to do just kind of a little pause after this meeting. Does anybody? Yeah.
One thing I would really like to see, I don't know whether these are getting announced on the air, are they?
Some of them and some of them not.
Okay. But as you can see, there's, other than Mary, who is always with us, there's no participation by the staff. And one might say, well, maybe they don't have an interest, but certainly they vote in the local board, and I've heard rumblings of people saying they shouldn't or they should have fewer votes. They might conceivably in the past they've served on the national board. They have interests even if they don't seem to understand them, and I would really like to figure out some way, and I have been too busy to make this a priority of my own, of bringing the staff into this process. Maybe they can't attend these meetings every week, but we might have a special meeting where we talk about some of the issues that's set up specifically for them.
That's a real good suggestion. Phil Osageda has been distributing our meeting notices to the entire staff. Eileen Alvendary came last.
Yes, I remember that.
She was planning on coming this time.
She may be good.
About our distributing our minutes of this meeting in their mailboxes.
Well, when
in print?
We have the first one, though.
Yeah.
Well, just a minute. That's not a bad idea, too, if we want to make copies. But I think it might be a good idea to do a special staff meeting to call the attention of staff the importance of this. But and that's a good suggestion. But what I'd like to do is here, look at the three more models we have to look at tonight. Kind of jam around a little bit about if we could get a sense of where we're leaning as to maybe two or three major features, and then synthesize those and summarize them and graph them, like to hijack Max as our graphic artist. And
there's a limit to that.
Those models will raise issues, and we may need to start, after we've done this, getting down to the nitty-gritty, like do we recommend we've not addressed the subscribers, volunteers, staff ratios or qualifications. We might go down to that level next and keep meeting, or we could maybe take a week's breather and think about those things and raise those issues. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have a question that I know I'm not going to get to ask you. Can I? You send an email out to people for us to forward and sign up if we want to get the notes. And I almost sent you an email, and then I thought maybe you just mean to have people respond that haven't signed up yet that are not coming to meetings. And that John Sheridan and a couple of other people also asked me that question last night, and I said I'd ask you.
I have a humongous email list, several thousand people on it. And I don't want to send meeting notes to all of them. They don't all want it. So I just sent out something inviting people to subscribe if they want these minutes and notes.
So people who sign up to receive meetings are not automatically on the email.
No, they are already on.
So that's what I mean. Should people like me?
No.
Right. Now you're already on.
Oh, okay. That's, I'll tell John and John. Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you so much. I know it's kind of off topic,
well,
but
people
I've never
who were already on responded, and I knew they were already on.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, I'm concerned about the judge's timeline.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are going to be bigger things we're going to want to discuss with the judge besides ignoring or asking for extensions on the bylaws. And I think that the fact that Washington has not even met is rather telling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure I share with your feeling about being concerned that we're out in front. When I was listening to Leslie this morning delineating the arrest calendar, which began here in 99, we're now at 2002, and the struggle is still in the court. I'm not uncomfortable at all with us proceeding with what is what we've done in the past has been considered going forward, and therefore I don't see why we shouldn't go ahead and do that, because without sitting here patting ourselves on the back, if we hadn't seen any done, there we wouldn't be here talking about this now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we say, you know, there are others that admit that we help them and say so, but I don't think that that's a reason. I'm opposed to doing that because it would mean that we may have to go anyway to the judge. But if I were the judge, I'd feel better that somebody was trying to do what I told them to do, particularly right here at home.
Right. Well, we do have until September to get bylaws passed. And I sense that once the groups in the other areas simmer down, coalesce, and get their procedures worked out, they will see things pretty similarly to what we see. There aren't that many ways to look at this, actually. So I take your comments seriously, and if it went on too long, I certainly want to get in and push the process, but people generally like things that they have a hand in developing better than things that they didn't have a hand in developing. And I'm intimately familiar with the
why can't we finish our model?
Because our model,
then adjust it, but
we'll do that, Jane.
That's all I'm suggesting.
Yeah, we'll do that.
I'm not. I hear what you're going. That's not what I'm
right. Okay. Before we go too much further, one more question, and then we should maybe start our model presentation.
Are you thinking of like a meeting again, say 2 or 3 weeks? Or how much
2 weeks. Yeah, I was thinking of maybe just taking a week off and doing some written synthesis.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's great.
All right.
If you would be so kind to help us through this meeting, I guess.
Okay, I warn you all that I'm tired and grumpy, but I'll
one,
I can't stand the city stuff anyway.
Oh.
And the gray weather, you know, I just felt, and you're probably all feeling that way, so I guess we just all help each other. Okay.
Do you want to have somebody do that?
It's easier if I do it myself, actually. Michael, can you, you guys who are, I'm going to have to stand here, I think, so, and I won't, you won't be able to see anybody. We're a small group, so this is not. Let's go around and introduce ourselves once more. I'm Judy Pope.
Adrian.
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 I'm Robin Reynolds.
Dorothy Edmund.
Sarah Randallo.
Mary Bird.
Gary Evans.
Sydney Matson.
James A.
Conrad Oho.
Max Blanchet.
Kurt Gray.
Billy Thompson.
Jim Curtis.
Carol Spooner.
Michael Lizen.
Gregory Wonderwheel.
I'm getting the names, but it's not a finished process yet, so you'll have to forgive me. Okay, last time we had the presentation of about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 models, I think. 8 maybe. Some of them were sort of generic and some of them were very specific. So I understand we have 3 new ones to be presented. Are any of these sort of consolidations or takeoffs on what has been done before, or are they brand new? So it sounds like a brand new stuff. Okay. And I think of who has not been here as part of these discussions before, or who was not here last time? Okay.
Do I have a copy?
Okay. Good. Interrupt us if you're lost. Mm-hmm. We'll try to recap as we get along. Okay, it's 7:30. Can we take about 20 minutes per model and see how that works? Okay, who'd like to go first?
One quick point. Sure. Mine is really a consolidation. So
can we take yours last?
Sure. I was going to suggest that there are people who wanted to present theirs the last time, and we run out
right,
of time,
right.
So we can start
right.
First.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I love consolidation. Wonderful. Okay. So let's start with the 2 models that we didn't hear from last time. I know you had one, yeah.
Thanks. I passed out from this one. I made this chart. My idea is that there are a couple ideas I borrowed from Gregory's earlier one. That's that there should be 2 classes of members, and there should be a national assembly. And I brought one idea from Carol that there might be a oversight committee.
Would you say your some people are saying what's your name?
Jim Curtis.
Jim Curtis.
What I felt that's different is an idea for having a diversity requirements on the national board. And I liked Conrad's idea of having like direct democracy from below. The members don't elect national members, but they elect station board members who they know campaign with, and then station board directors can campaign, know each other and elect the national board. And in that way, there's a direct pyramid of knowledge of among the people who are involved. The trouble with having diversity like we have it on our station board level at the national level is there's only like 15 members on the national board, and they rotate in thirds. They're up for 3 years. Each year a new one's elected. So there's only 5 going for election. Now, our diversity requirements have 4 criteria, gender and of color, and so that, and it's broken down into 4 persons of one category or another, and the 5th person would, if there's a 5th person in that same category, it would go to the next the next category of four that was different, where the person had the most votes, you know. So what occurred to me was that if the station boards all had an election at the same time among the directors, among themselves, they put up, instead of just putting two candidates from each station board to the national board, they each put up five or more candidates, and that all five of these candidates could campaign among the other station boards, like at the National Assembly or by televised, we've had televised conferences here before, and so, and they would know each other too. So, and you wouldn't have, when the station board people would vote, they would vote in all five areas on all 25 candidates. And they wouldn't necessarily have to vote on their own candidate from their own area. And so if there's 25 or more candidates running, you can use the diversity criteria. So that's my addition to that.
Question.
But you do need, on the PNB, you do need equal representation from the five listening areas, right?
Depends on how the election goes.
Well, I mean, wouldn't that be a requirement, though?
I like this idea really a lot, and on the website, Carl Gunther goes into a great bit of detail on election procedures at the local advisory board level.
Which site?
The website where all of these proposals are being posted.
If you were here last week, you may have gotten this, which is basically what we're talking about. Did you get one of these last week? They were handed out.
Okay.
ringnebula.com. Actually, it's the same kind of criteria, same kind of voting methodology and criteria can be used at the national level, treating the board members, the local advisory board, or the local governing boards, whichever you're going to call them, as the voting body, and then their voting power can be adjusted to reflect the size of the membership that they are representing, so that basically it's the same criteria with one additional adjustment based on the size of the listener members at the base of each local advisory board is what I would suggest as a possibility.
You mean some kind of a biasing factor?
An adjustment factor.
Now you're incorporating that was the idea that you had in your proposal last week, right, Conrad?
Well, I suggested the idea, well, basically
the
method that's been established for the local advisory board here, using that same methodology basically at the next level up to elect
right,
the
to
national
reflect
board.
The size of the electing constituents.
Yes. That's,
well, now let me just make sure I understand this. You have no at all, nothing in your plan to say that there would be any given number from any single area. So presumably, if 25 people ran from Texas, whatever, and they got elected, we'd have a board composed only of Texans. I mean, that wouldn't happen. But is under your model, if that happened, that's. Am I correct in that's what you're saying?
People would run from every station.
Right, area. But supposing they all got elected from one area, there's no,
That would happen.
That could happen.
There's, in my criteria, I have a thing where you could, in my proposal, yeah. There's a thing where you could recall national
right.
directors.
Well,
and
I wasn't clear from reading why you did that, and I read through your proposal, and it's probably very clear in there, but my mind was muddy, I guess. I've been reading. I haven't understood quite why you wanted to do it that way, to have people, say, from New York elect, when we really won't ever know each other very well, even if there's a televised conference or other. What do we learn about those people? Not much, except what propaganda might, you know, what PR might be put. I was just curious why you came to do that, because I...
So we could get 25 candidates.
But why not have them from each signal area?
They are. But
why not elect? Why not require that five from each signal area get elected?
Well, then there'd be such a huge board that...
Or whatever, just four.
Okay. Let's see. I saw Carolyn, and I saw Kirby, and I saw.
Yeah, and that's fine.
That's all right.
Basically, I was going to say. A more likely scenario than what Mary was describing, where everybody gets elected from one.
Is that in here?
No. Unfortunately. A more likely scenario than what Mary was describing, where everybody gets elected from one signal area, is that what might happen is that one signal area might not be represented. That seems more likely.
Right.
And it seems to me that you could make, just as you would have requirements about gender and ethnicity, you could simply make a requirement that all five stations are going to be represented. Now, it may wind up that there'd be five representatives from New York and one from Texas, but it would depend on how people are placing their votes. If people want to vote for people outside of their area, you know, because they like the candidates better. And also, I got to say, that seems a little unlikely. Right now, my my union, which is not necessarily a model of democracy, has adopted something where we elect the offices of our district council, and all the members of the constituent unions elect the officers, and the officers of the individual unions are actually members of the district council. So all these people who don't know anybody are able to vote, but the reality is they don't know anybody, so they only vote for the people they know. So it winds up being the same thing anyway. Unless somebody went around and made a campaign of saying, "Don't vote for those guys, vote for these guys."
That's what I'm afraid of.
So it's very hard for insurgents. I will say that the problem with that is it's very hard for people who are insurgents or outside of an insider clique to break through in a system like that, because people who are not in the specific constituency are not going to know the power politics that are going on there.
Okay. without using my model, people would vote two people from their each area,
mm-hmm.
right, or something like that. Now, in my thing, people would tend to do that, again, because they know them better, perhaps, but the diversity requirements would throw that askew, and you'd get a diverse board, like it or not.
I think this is interesting because of the two innovations of the national election that you have, dovetailing with what Mary was getting at. The point of five candidates from each station to get at least 25 people running is so that you have a large enough pool that a proportional representation election will actually do the job it's meant to do. Because it's five elected each year for the 15 total. But if you need that pool to make the proportional representation idea work,
mm-hmm.
you need a good enough pool to vote from.
Okay.
So I think that's very it's really one of the more different ways of approaching this, where all the station boards are the election pool, but they're all voting together on a common pool of nominees. I think that is interesting to me. Did you, I want to ask about the oversight board, though.
Okay.
Which I thought was also very interesting. It's a committee of the national board with five members to certify stations as what we've been calling on mission sort of thing. Loss of certification would entail loss of national board members from that area. Have you considered other sanctions than that? I'm wondering if that's really the...
That might not apply if there weren't any from that area.
Yeah.
Right, so that's...
Yeah. Well, Carol had another one, which was the station.
Well, ultimately, legally, both as far as the FCC is concerned and the state of California is concerned, the National Board of Directors is responsible. So what we're talking about is delegating a lot of power and authority to local boards, and which I very much want to see us do. But ultimately, if the National Board has no power, then we face the problem potentially of station drift, where there are stations out there that are not performing Pacifica's mission and whose listeners and local board like it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to correct it. So there has to be some reserve power in the National Board to come in, and that's what you were addressing. I think one way to do it would be, for instance, something that Max mentioned was in his model, which we might get to, with a national programming committee, some kind of annual review of all of the stations where they get some feedback on how they're doing. And if there's a serious transgression, they get, or a serious tendency towards drift, they get some suggestions for fixing it, and if a year goes by and they haven't fixed it, then something else happens, such as the local board's ability to hire and fire their station manager is gone, and the national board comes in and imposes. This will be very difficult to sell politically, but it would necessarily, I think, have to have some kind of power to come in and correct, if need be, after due process, where there's been a procedure for evaluating and appealing and discussing and trying to fix the problem.
Did I lose the floor?
To your wife, yes.
I was
I'm
asking,
sorry. That was old time, Greg.
Have you thought of any other sanctions such as...
Carol just mentioned some. Yeah, I hadn't thought that far, but you're right. They could have another election, or change. I like the idea of combining the idea of the oversight board with something to do with a program review in how up till now it's trying to do something with programming seems like doesn't belong in the bylaws, so.
Well, it could belong. That's a governance issue, too.
Could be. The problem of diversity on the national board, where you're electing, say, in a year, one or two persons, or even three from where you're rotating over a 3-year term from each station, is very problematical. If we have set diversity criterion and you're only electing one this year, then guess what? You have to elect a black woman this year, or you have to elect a white man this year, or,
cut somebody in half.
Yeah, or the arbitrariness of that, whether or not you happen to have a really good white woman available this year who wants to serve on the board, you can get into a lot of problems with it. So having a larger number of directors elected by whatever electorate each year is attractive. Like, that's why I've been looking at the 15-member board and saying maybe it's too small.
Mm-hmm.
maybe it has to be bigger so that we, when a local board is electing directors, they can actually elect two or three people and get some diversity of representation without.
Mm-hmm. I've been wondering if, like, if you had 20, then five of them could be elected directly to that committee from the station board.
You're talking about the oversight committee.
Yeah,
that's different. Well, for
as having that oversight committee only being in existence 1 year, while the other directors were that they would rotate it in thirds, right, every year, so. There'd be a new oversight committee every year, so it would have to be part of that same group.
Okay, we used 20 minutes. Any other last questions or comments, or shall we move on to the next one? Thanks very much for your thoughtful.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's next? Okay.
Does anybody not have... Michael Lubin, and by the way, I forgot to write it on the
thing.
Which one?
Which one?
Specifically, government model. Tour fragment thereof. I also, I realized I probably shouldn't have, I realized after I printed this, I probably shouldn't have used the word governance, because that can mean, you know, exactly what bylaws are not, but I mean sort of a structure in which governance happens.
Would you like some of these to mark, use that?
Sure.
Red, black one.
Okay, I see if I can use it. I didn't come up with a chart.
Are you related to Barbara?
Yeah, I am.
Excuse me?
Oh, no, I'm not. No.
Lubin's a common name.
Oh, no. No, no, it's not.
No, no,
maybe in Brooklyn.
How do you spell that?
Lubin.
Okay. We have Lubin's in it. Lubin.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Cardozo, Lubin. Go on.
Please do. Thank you. Anyway, I thought of a different way to address this diversity issue. I was thinking about the same problem that in the national board, it's easy to make the local board diverse, and it's much harder with the national board because of the number of members. One of the things I did was to have the national board all be elected at once for 2 years term. So you have 15 people elected at one time. That allows for richer diversity criteria. I recognize that, you know, waiting 2 years might seem to be a problem to some. You could change it and have half of them every other year. But what I like about having 15 is that you can have more than just the kind of criteria we have here, where I believe it has to be a certain number and not too many women, and a certain number and not too many of people of color, right? Is that what it is? And you could do more than that. You could, because I think that class always gets lost in the shuffle, age gets lost in the shuffle, and those are serious issues. We have, I think, a serious age imbalance in the leadership structure here, and class is something that never paid too much attention to, in my opinion. So anyway, it allows you to have more complex criteria than that, and possibly racially you could have several different groupings instead of just, you know, white and everybody else. So anyway, my plan calls for a careful balancing between local and national power. And the way it works is everybody is elected at a local level, including the national board members, and everybody's elected by either listener members or staff members. And I leave a lot of discretion to the local station boards in deciding exactly how elections should be set up. They have considerable freedom. So they can determine their size within limits between 9 and 25. Also, the system by which the local board is elected is determined by the local board, but it has to be some kind of proportional representation. The national board would, the bylaws would specify diversity criteria, which the stations would have to at least meet, and they could add additional rules to exceed those criteria. And they would be the local board, local governing board members would serve for 2 years, and half would be elected every year. Now they would have two different systems, a choice of two different systems for electing them in terms of the staff as opposed to listeners. The first system, which is the one I actually prefer, the listeners and staff. The listeners and staff will constitute two different classes. First of all, I should say in any system, listeners and staff theoretically constitute two distinct classes of members, and those are the only classes. So the staff, anybody who's a paid or unpaid staff member is a staff member, and anyone else who meets the criteria for donating money or volunteering is a listener member. So the choice system is that all the members of the local board would be elected together by listeners and staff, and then you would have to bring the staff, since that would result in relatively low staff representation, to bring the staff into the process, you would have staff members brought in on a rotating basis to advise the board at every meeting, because they're the people who are on the ground, who know what's going on, and the decisions would actually be made by a board elected mostly by listeners, but with massive staff input. And of course, attendance would be voluntary for the staff members. But the idea would be to get the entire staff of the station in every year or two on a rotating basis. You could keep them there, depending on the size of the staff, you could keep them there for a few weeks at a time or not. And then the second possible system would be that you set up a division between listener and seats elected by listeners and seats elected by the staff. And the staff would get at least 15%, but less than 50% of the seats, leaving the stations, again, with a lot of latitude in terms of how to set their own rules. Then on the national board level, what would happen is, again, the listener and staff members would elect them. The difference is, first of all, there would be the national board would dictate, or the bylaws would dictate, the system that would be used to elect them, some kind of system of proportional representation. So everybody would be on the same system. And because of this, there could be one single system of diversity criteria. And the way it would work is this. Supposing each of the stations go about and elects their national board members, and supposing the criteria of the national board say there have to be between 6 and 9 women out of the 15 members of the board, and supposing you look at the people that were elected and there's only 5 women, well, then what you do is you go through all the stations, all the different elections, and you find the woman who came closest to winning who didn't win, and then she replaces the person who was just the man who only just barely won. And it would have to be based on percentages of the vote rather than raw numbers of the vote, so that, because some stations would have much more people voting than others. But as long as everybody's on the same system, I think it could be done. There would be some technicalities, no doubt, involved. And this would allow for very rich diversity criteria to be implemented on a national scale while still electing people on a local scale. So the voters would be electing people from their own signal area that they knew. And in fact, in all likelihood, I think the people who would be running for the national board would probably tend to be a little bit more famous than the people running for local boards, because there's fewer number of seats and it's sort of more of a prominent, conspicuous position. So it would probably tend to attract people who were candidates or potential candidates who were better known. And again, the station rules could determine whether the listeners and staff would vote together or whether there would be a division of seats. And again, the majority of seats would have to go to the listener members. The other thing is that the apportionment of seats among the stations, each station would be guaranteed at least 2 seats out of the 15. And then beyond that, it would be based on the number of members, the proportion of the total national membership that each board had, so that larger stations like us and DAI would get more. However, there's a kind of a technical, there's 2 different ways you can do this, and it's kind of technical, but it's kind of important. One way of doing this,
you can do it here.
Okay. One way of doing this is you have your, this is your whole pie, 15 seats. So you say, okay, here's your 10 seats, and these 10 seats are going to be allocated, divided up among the 5 stations equally. And then these other 5 seats will be divided up based on their share of the membership. Now, that tends to result in extremely equal representation among stations, and therefore extremely not proportional representation based on membership. That's to say, you might end up with 3 stations with 3, 1 with 4, and 1 with 2. Because even if a station is small, They guarantee their two seats, plus whatever size they have may get them one extra seat out of this, right? Say if they have 2/15 of the total membership, you would think they would just get these two, but not necessarily, because they would have theoretically a right to 2/15 of these five.
Like Congress.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the House of Representatives, yeah, has the same thing about the one seat minimum. If you have two-fifteenths of five is two-thirds, so more likely than not, depending on exactly how things came out and what system you're using, they might get a third seat. Now, the system that I prefer and what I put down here is a system where you take the whole thing and you just divide it up among the stations, you know, however it comes out. And then if you see that one of them didn't get two seats, then you redress that. So basically, if you have two-fifths or less of the national membership, you will never get more than two seats. So that this system allows stations to get a certain minimum membership, which is only one less than an equal share, to reassure them that they're not being abandoned or shut out, and at the same time allows for a substantial degree of proportionality, and which is more democratic. Okay, I should probably get a move on, but one other thing I should talk about, because I think this is an important feature, and that's, I put in, if you look on the third page here, D, I put in a procedure for actually suspending a local governing board. I mean, this is to deal with the issue that Carol's been raising every single meeting about station drift, which I think is a very real problem. And the idea is to create some sort of way that this can be done, that you can have a way to stop a station from abandoning the Pacifica mission and Pacifica principles without allowing the national board to basically bludgeon stations into submission, as we all know what happened recently, and without creating even the impression that the national board could do this. So basically, everybody's nervous right now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So basically, what will happen is there will be a procedure. The Pacifica National Board would determine that the station was not complying with the Articles of Incorporation or the bylaws or applicable law, that they were not fulfilling their mission, and they would tell the station would have to be given the chance to respond, and if the response, the board decided the response was inadequate, they would then make that determination, and then it would be thrown back to the other local governing boards. And if a majority of the other local governing boards agreed with the national board, no, a majority of all the local governing boards, a majority of all the local governing boards agreed with the national board, then the local governing board of that station would be suspended. So three of the other four stations, but if we had six, it would have to be four of the other five to be a majority. And when that happens, then the Pacifica National Board then becomes basically the local governing board of that board for a period of up to about a year, or I say 15 months. The idea is to get back to a regular election cycle as soon as possible. So if the elections, say if the elections were normally being held in December and they were suspended in October, then if it was a year later, you would just wait another 2 months for the regular election time. Anyway, they would have no more than 15 months to get them back on track, and then have elections again by the people who had become the membership by that point. And then they would go back to a regular election schedule. I should also mention that the election schedule, the idea is that the election should be held simultaneously. I don't know if I remember to put that in here, but the elections are supposed to be held simultaneously. So you have half of the local board, we'd have the, since we're going to have elections next year, you'd have
Harry.
The,
good thing.
You would have the, the national, you would have the national board elected in the odd years, and then the local governing board happens elected every year, but the elections in the odd years would coincide. So you'd have a single election where you'd be voting for people at both levels.
Two questions?
I haven't heard anybody. I'm glad that some folks are now addressing the diversity requirement. What I haven't heard is how to include the affiliates. I think that personally, I think it's absolutely necessary that the new national board have seats set aside for the affiliates in some fashion. To me, it'd be just simple. The simplest thing to simply give them two or three or one. One seems a bit of an insult, but two or three seats, and then let them constitute themselves as a caucus or whatever, and elect their representative. But I think there has to be seats for the affiliates.
That's something I actually thought about. I would like to do that. It strikes me that it would require a rather complicated system because there's so many different stations. So I didn't do that. Another thing that occurred to me is that maybe the national staff should elect one board member. I don't know if anybody's thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that the staffs of all these affiliates or the listeners of all these affiliates.
No, that's a separate thing.
Right. I mean, the local stations would have to figure out how they're going to participate
right.
in the election of affiliate representatives.
Right.
Carol and then Mary.
The issue of the affiliates has been raised by a number of people. We don't yet know whether the affiliates want a seat. There are two or three affiliates that have brought up the issue on the affiliates discussion list, which I happen to subscribe to, so I'm somewhat familiar. But I don't think that the affiliates have yet decided that they want a seat or more than one seat. But if they do, it's pretty simple to, under the law, to give a separate body that's not Pacifica, it's not a membership, they're not Pacifica members. We could give the local Chamber of Commerce the right to appoint a seat on our board if we wanted to, under whatever rules they wanted to set for themselves. So we could say, we could say, if at some point between now and September the affiliates want to engage in a serious dialogue about this, that the affiliates could organize and ask for a seat that they could then have.
Yeah, I think I think it's a good idea. I think there's a sort of a balance that has to be maintained between representing everybody and then making the board not be too big as to be unwieldy, and then creating diversity and making sure each station has enough, but then having some kind of extra representation for larger stations. That gets, you know, there's some limits.
I had a question about your model.
Yeah.
Is your model, I'm sorry that I haven't read it, is your model one where the national board is directly elected by the listeners?
Yes, yeah, by listeners and staff.
And staff.
It could be. There could be seats set aside by local stations to be elected specifically by the staff. If they have three or more, there has to be a majority of their seats from each local area elected by the staff.
Mary?
Yeah, the affiliate issue seems to me to be really problematic. Even as of now, we've only got 50 or so. They're all across we had more, but they're just stations who take on some programming, that's all. And we might have hundreds later on that sign on to a couple of programs. And a lot of these stations do nothing more than take one program or two. So, firstly, how you would organize to get two seats out of, we hope, a growing number of affiliates would be a difficult thing. They're all across the country. They're all across the map as to their formats and their viewpoints. They're not going to have a strong organization. A lot of them won't. A few will. So there might be a separate kind of an advisory board, national board, that might consist of affiliates and possibly others that we might think about that might have some role to play. I could see that, but I really don't see how there could be a system where they're directly involved in Pacifica affairs when they're not. I mean, from my dealings with them, some of them are just very peripherally connected.
I think we got the message. Let's see, I saw Gary, and then I saw Gregory, and then I saw Adrian, and then
there
I saw
two here.
Jim, and then I saw, and you have already spoken, so I wanted to give people enough spoken.
Did
okay.
you see Willie?
Willie's
and
here.
I saw Willie, yeah.
Okay. Just a question about the situation where diversity doesn't happen in the direct vote of the LAB moving their candidate up to the national board, and so that it moves around to another.
What are you looking at, Gary?
Pardon me?
What page are you looking at?
I'm not. I actually just took notes
first,
on
the first couple pages, I think.
But the question was that
number four on page one, number five on page two.
Could you end up violating the proportionality idea?
Oh yeah. Well, anytime you have diversity criteria, the result is that it's not proportional as it was, which is why. I actually say on the first page, number A4, I say that there would be minimum diversity criteria imposed by the national board for local governing board elections, and they could be made stricter by the local station rule. The idea is the bylaws would leave considerable leeway, allowing the station rule to decide for themselves how to balance diversity with accurate voter representation, because it really is a trade-off to some extent. The more stringent the diversity requirements, the less accurate the representation of the voters is. My own thoughts about this, and after this model, there's some ideas that I wrote down. My thought about diversity is that diversity, true diversity, begins with programming, and I think there should be something in the bylaws mandating in a kind of general way, without tying the hands of day-to-day decision makers. Diversity in the programming, both in terms of the programmers and what kind of content there is. If you have diverse programming, you have diverse listeners. Diverse listeners, diverse members, diverse boards elected by members. And the idea would be to create a station that was diverse from the bottom up, so that then the requirements for diversity would end up not mattering that much, because you would come close to them anyway, and they would just maybe result in adjusting it by one or two seats here and there. But that is an issue.
Okay, we have quite a few here. Gregory.
Kurt keeps raising the affiliate issue, and I would tend to be more with Mary on the issue that affiliates, to me, is really an artificial construct. There are affiliates that are affiliated with NPR and Pacifica at the same time, and mm-hmm. some of them don't even know that they're Pacifica affiliates, or they think they're Pacific affiliates because they take an NPR program. It's really so bizarre. It's not at all like in commercial TV or radio, where an affiliate is a contracted station, like a locally owned station, but contracted with the national network to only take programs from that national network. They're free to take syndicated programs and stuff, but like a local affiliate couldn't take ABC programs if they're an NBC affiliate. If we wanted to start a system like that, then I'd be all for having some version of affiliate input to where we said, well, if you're going to be a Pacific affiliate, you can't take PRI or NPR affiliate programming. That would be a whole different story, and that's something I'd be open to talking about, but otherwise I would not put the affiliates on the board. But on this issue here, would you say a little bit more, Michael? I'm a little confused on the question of, I guess you tried to draw it up there.
There's a lot of things that are not easy.
The question of, if each station has a minimum of 2 board members, that leaves 5 which kind of get moved around.
Correct.
How do they get moved around? I'm just vague on that part. Subject to some kind of proportionalism. What is the proportion?
I think the way it would work is something roughly.
Are you trying to do something with proportion and diversity at the same time?
Well, this is just representing the stations. This is separate from the issue of diversity as in race, class, gender, whatever. This is just representing the stations. And basically, it's like this. You would look at the whole, what proportion, how many seats would each station get if it was purely based on proportionality, the number of members? And if every station gets 2 or more, then you're set. And if not, then any station that didn't, you would say if there were 2 that didn't, you would give those 2 you would set aside one seat for each of those stations, and then you have 13 left, and then you would try it again.
Wait, slow down. I can't keep up with you. How did somebody get set aside?
Well, basically, if you determined that some stations were not going to get to, they were going to get less than two, if you didn't set some aside for them, then you would set them aside and then try again. But the idea is not to have just five that are up for grabs, but to make it as if 13 or 15 or whatever are up for grabs. So say you try, I know this is hard to explain.
It's a mathematical.
It's mathematical. It's probably a better way of doing it.
Is there somebody else to just make a stab at explaining it? Yeah. Carol, is that really
it? Right. I see two ways to do it. One you could say, in the whole Pacifica system of five stations, there are X number of subscriber members. And such and such fraction are subscribers to KPFT and such fraction of subscribers to KPFA. And allocate the seats that way. But if it turned out that you had less than two, mm-hmm. you would automatically get two and recalculate. There would be an algorithm to do that.
But there's
another way to do it that is possibly simpler, which is to say that every station gets two seats. Mm-hmm. And there's a variable number of directors. Mm-hmm. And you could say every station gets two seats minimum for the first 10,000 subscribers that they've got. And for every 10,000 subscribers they have above the first 10, they get another seat.
You'd have to be able to adjust that number 10,000 as the
you could make that a number that could be
fraction?
Changed.
Right.
But for instance, for every 10,000 or fraction thereof. So for the first 10,000 or fraction thereof, you get two seats. For the next 10,000 or fraction thereof, you get another seat. For the next 10,000 or fraction thereof, you get another seat, which would give you a variable board, a minimum of 10 and a maximum of...
Hard to say. Huh?
Well, yeah, hard to say. KPFA has 29,000 members.
Depending on whose county.
you could say a minimum of two and a maximum of five from each station. So that would give you somewhere between 10 and 25 directors. That would be another way to do it.
We are over time on this item, but it seems like people are still grappling with it, so I think we really need to take a few more minutes. Let's take another 5 minutes and see if we can go quickly.